Yeah, definitely nothing here.
In here, no, I have not, and I don't intend to. I do not intend to request any legislation.
Well, it's too late now, anyway.
I only do that if I have someone who's going to underwrite the cost to taxpayers. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think. I think it expired 5 days ago, anyway. So the next legislative period would be filing this coming September. In 2023, I think. So hopefully we'll see a resubmission of BACR 32 at that time. I don't think we're going to see a direct independence measure this year. At least that's the indication from Mike Sylvia's email that came out last week. It sounded like the state reps that met on Monday this past week did not have that within their discussion. So we may see some nullification, but I don't think we're going to see anything direct as far as another vote, not this year.
There's a lot going on this year.
I don't know if the reps have formed any kind of a caucus. I know there was a push for that. But I don't know if any of them really kind of picked up that ball and ran with it. So hopefully that's something that we can get out of this year. They didn't seem to be opposed to the idea, but it seems to be one of those things where there needs to be a leader, and I don't think anyone has stepped up to be that person. But I could be wrong. I wasn't at the meeting last week.
Jason seemed to be very enthusiastic about independence here, so maybe...
Yeah, it'd be great if we could get him in here. Let me see if I can send him a message and see if he can jump in. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'm sure this was probably discussed in previous meetings, but it was definitely gratifying to see all of the independence incumbents reelected.
Yeah, the outcome was pretty...
All the ones that made it to the general, I should say.
Yeah, the outcome of the election was pretty good. I mean, I realize that, like, not everybody was reelected that was pro-independence, but it was still pretty good, I think, overall. And if you look at, like, the numbers of, like, just liberty-oriented people, you know, there's more of them, so... You know, who knows how many of those got elected that might be pro-independence that we don't even know about at this point.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, live invites. That's a good idea. Thanks for doing that, Ian.
I'm actually surprised at how many times we have, like, we ping a rep and they get on with us. It's a good sign. It's a good indicator. And it's not
yeah,
even like
well,
it's...
hopefully people will be more enthusiastic about this now that they know it's obviously not a political death sentence to be pro-independence. It doesn't appear to even make any difference as to whether you get reelected or not.
Yeah, I keep saying that it's just a matter of, you know, throwing reps up, you know, throwing candidates up there to run. That's 90% of it. Most of these people don't know who they're voting for anyway.
Correct. Yeah, that effort, you know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't think you, since you've been, haven't been on the last couple weeks, did you hear about what Glenn Bailey said regarding his door-to-door knocking?
No.
So Glenn, as you know, is one of the people who voted for the independence measure, and he got reelected. he told us at the recent NHLA conference meeting that we had, that we attended, where a bunch of us were there, he said he knocked on 2,400 doors, and not a single person brought up secession as a concern.
Yeah, because it's not a concern, it's a solution.
They didn't bring it up at all. So it's not like they were like, oh, you're the guy that voted for that.
Yeah, they didn't bring it up at all. And of course, now you've got Joe Biden saying he wants to ban all assault or semi-automatic weapons or whatever. it's just going to motivate more people.
Honestly, the biggest, I think maybe the biggest problem with anything, if they're assuming there's a problem, is that people don't even know about independence. So if the Democrats are talking about independence, you know, I don't know. It seems like it's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree. It's just free promotion for us.
Yeah.
I had a political conversation a couple, 3 months ago with someone in Range, just a random person who was, you know, at a trade show. And he was kind of interested in politics, and so it kind of, you know, politics came up, and he brought up the secession drive himself. I didn't bring it up, and he was angry about it, but I said, well, federal government tortures, they run torture chambers, so I don't think it deserves to run New Hampshire. And this guy was a leftist, and he immediately shut down. He didn't have any interest in arguing about it anymore. It was almost like he was won over, even though I'm sure that's not the case. He was immediately no longer angry about secession. If that makes any sense.
Show up here. So yeah, I apologize to people who are listening. It's supposed to be like a podcast. We're supposed to be able to fill space here. If I have to, I will start talking about stuff that's not completely independence related, just to fill the space until he's on.
Yeah, you know what would be nice is if we had an auto, like, I think there's like, functionality somewhere to cut out, what is it, the empty space, basically, in audio.
Yeah, that does exist.
Yeah.
I don't know what the tools are. Hey, Jason, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, so we were just talking about the writs and kind of where things are at today with independence-related stuff. I know Mike Sylvia sent out a message after y'all had that meeting on Monday this last week, you know, the one prior to the deadline. Or no, it was Wednesday, the week prior. It was the Wednesday, that meeting at Tandy's or whatever. And I think you were there for that, right? Do you want to kind of just talk about how that went, how many people attended it, what was discussed, etc.?
The meeting itself, I mean, it seems kind of irrelevant. Didn't you guys talk about that on the last meeting? I listened to one of them, I think it was last week's, and it was going over. I mean, there really wasn't anything said. That's why I don't really see the point of talking about it. It was just kind of, hey, where do you see what's going on? There's a new rep with us. And really just trying to figure out what level everyone is comfortable with. So he was saying secession is not where he's at, but nullification definitely is, which I think is pretty much what everybody's saying right now.
Was that Tom?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So, I mean, there was other people, but there was... Say again?
Oh, Tom Plushai?
No, Tom Mannion. Tom Mannion is a newly elected rep who is, as Jason said, they're not in favor of secession, but is a nullification advocate. He came out to the meeting that we had at Murphy's Tap Room a week and a half ago or whenever that was, and it sounds like he was at this other meeting with the state reps.
So, Jason, it sounds like no real independent stuff is coming up this year. So my assessment of that was unfortunately correct. So it doesn't sound like anybody's even filing a bill for a study commission. You didn't hear anything about that?
No, no one mentioned anything to me about that. But there are a good nullification-esque bills going in. I mean, I put in one for essentially the Montana Firearms Freedom Act, but for New Hampshire, just saying any gun made within the state of Montana is exempt from federal regulations. And then the other thing was allowing nonviolent felons to regain their Second Amendment rights.
Oh, that'd
so
be cool.
I was hoping to put a lot of Democrats in the hot seat with their minority little populations, you know, saying,
yeah,
oh, we love it. So I want to see that hit the floor. I think I have 10 votes to get a roll call on it. I already talked to some people. They're interested. But yeah, no, I did actually, Matt gave me a couple of bills to submit. One of them was just, okay, this is what I have an issue with, is when you get into these word salad kind of bills, where it's just like, we the people in New Hampshire declare that, it just, there's no substance, there's no, I'd rather have it saying, okay, all guns made within the state of New Hampshire are exempt from federal regulation. Like, pick a specific thing, and then roll with it, instead of just kind of doing these generalized kind of like soliloquies, you know?
Yeah, keep it simple.
Exactly. So somebody like a regular old person can understand what the hell is going on. Exactly. So, anyway.
Was there any discussion of creating some sort of a nullification caucus? Did that move forward at all?
There was talk about that, yes. I just don't, I'm a little confused and I gotta, you know, I'm new to all this stuff. I gotta see what happens on, so Tuesday I'm going to one of the orientation days. They have 3 days of orientation. That just seems excessive, but whatever. So I'm going to the first one, but I just kind of want to see the lay of the land in certain regards. I don't understand the caucus thing. I mean, so you're not officially part of a caucus, right?
Hell if I know. I don't know. I think there's some sort of official way to make it, but that would be a question for Mike Sylvia or one of these guys that has been in it for a little while. I think they would know.
So what would the goal be for a nullification caucus in your mind? Like, what would it achieve?
Well, the Freedom Caucus is a thing, right? There's, I don't know, some number of dozens of members of the House Freedom Caucus, and they're this voting bloc, basically, and they kind of, if you don't get their support, your legislation probably isn't going to pass. So the idea is to kind of make nullification a specific caucus to, you know, to have this sort of nexus around which things can happen, right? So the caucus meets on some sort of a schedule, maybe it's once a month or whatever, and it just kind of gets everybody together to talk about, you know, things they can support or not as a caucus, and then perhaps bills that they can come together and sponsor on. I think the point is to just kind of create the sort of center around which more nullification related things can come. That's my understanding. What do you guys think?
I think a caucus is great. It's great for the image, the publicity. We'll work on getting stuff done. I think it'll be just a great thing for the FSP to say we have a nullification caucus. We'd be probably the only state with that.
What would be the parameters for being part of it? You know what I mean? Like, so what would... All right, one of the bills I want to do next session, I was kind of thinking about this session, I just didn't really get off the ground because I couldn't formulate it completely, but having your park listed next to your... But having the party that you belong, part of the group, your listing on the ballot, and then also your caucus affiliation. That way you can destroy the whole two-party system in a sense. Now you have Republican and then next to it, Liberty Caucus, Nullification Caucus, you know?
An interesting proposal. They tend to not like changing the ballot in New Hampshire, but you know, the only way to find out what'll happen is to put it forward and see what people say.
Well, what are you guys working on?
Well, we heard from Matt Santanastasso last week, and apparently he's putting in something that some of us had suggested, which was to just completely abolish the war on drugs. So I'm really glad to see, you know, some principled legislation come out, because it's been too damn long that we've had free staters in office and they're just nibbling around the edges. It's finally time for, you know, for somebody to put forward some principled legislation. So supposedly he has submitted legislation. I mean, you want to talk about nullification. He's literally proposed to strike the entirety of RSA 318B, which is the entirety of drug prohibition in New Hampshire, everything. So that's going to stir it up. Hopefully we'll get some press coverage. I mean, it'll probably go down in flames and not make it past the committee, but that's okay, because that's how you get a conversation started. And I wish more of the freedom reps would take principled positions, but they're too scared. You know, they're worried to about their reelection chances and all the same shit that we heard on the independence issue. So, looking forward to that one.
Well, you know what I found out is that every bill hits the House floor for a vote, actually, but there won't be a roll call vote unless you get 10 reps to stand up and say, yeah, roll call. So,
yeah. I think you only need one, though. I think only one rep is required to pull it off of a consent calendar. So what happens usually is they will, at a committee level, if it's, you know, if somebody, let's say the committee votes, you know, 20-0 or whatever to kill the bill to abolish the drug prohibition, Matt or you or one person on the House floor can say you want to pull that from the consent calendar, because a consent calendar is them just voting in mass on like dozens of bills all at once. If you pull it off the consent calendar, then it comes to the House floor as a separate bill. And it then has to have like at least a floor discussion for some amount of time, which is what happened with CACR 32. They tried putting that on consent. One of our guys pulled it off, and then it had a floor discussion. That's when they tried to table the bill, and that's when the Democrats actually called for the roll call, thankfully, on that one. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes more sense. The Young Americans for Liberty conference last week, but their whole thing was just get floor votes, you know, get roll call votes all the time, because then they can take that and run with it come election time. And I think that's the key takeaway from just all of this whole thing. It's all theater. We understand that, but at least give our, like, you know, mean keyboard warriors material with which to work with if we really are trying to go that route. So I don't know, just something I was thinking about.
That could be something else you get out of caucus. If you have a dozen people in a caucus, then they can all always stand up for those roll call votes on the issues that are important.
Great point.
Yeah, I think your take on this is very wide, Jason.
Well, I mean, that's what they were telling us. It's not an original idea, but no, I think. And the other thing they were saying is that one guy from Minnesota who's been stirring up a lot of shit, a state rep, he was saying he brings his camera into the committee hearings and starts videotaping from his point of view. Because, like, you know, those YouTube videos always suck. You can't see anything in the committee hearings. I wonder if we make it more lively, if we get more interaction among people. But
we could do that, but I think the videos are pretty good, to be honest. I don't think I've had a lot of complaints in the past about the videos. They go onto YouTube, all those committee hearings.
No, those are the ones that you record. I'm talking about the ones that just get recorded by the official system.
You know, yeah, that's the official House committees. That's what I usually watch, and I think they're pretty good.
Yeah,
no,
I'm just saying.
It's better than nothing, and it used to be nothing, so it's a step up from there. Sometimes the audio desyncs with the video feed, from what I've seen with the state feeds. But usually the audio is usable because they're mic'd up on the tables. Of course, that presumes the reps know how to turn on their microphones, and sometimes they don't.
If you think about it, the Bleu Québécois and the Parti Québécois, both, you know, after they had their independence referenda, you know, we went on and did other things. You know, they focused on lower hanging fruit, and, you know, ultimately they have power in Quebec, so you know, it just may be that this is not something that can be done every year, and I'm sure that Bleu Québécois does not do it every year. They don't try to get independence every year, you know, or every 2 years.
Yeah,
think it needs to come back every 2 years at minimum. I think the same thing is just keep coming back.
Yeah, I agree.
Take this year to focus on other things and then bring back CACR 32 in 2024. Every election year, basically.
I think what we could do is, like, use this year to focus legislatively on getting ammunition via roll call votes to kick out the worst statists or the primary, you know, Liberty Republicans who are not that good, like Ryan Hoser, or just get a lot of ammo by getting roll call votes, like Jason said. Because if we can say, listen, this guy voted against ending the war on drugs, he loves the drug war. That is very unpopular in every single district in the universe. So it's things like that getting ammo for the next election. So if we just focus on collecting ammo this year, I think that would be a pretty productive session just for that.
How would that be done, Aldo? How do you recommend collecting ammo? What do you mean by that exactly?
I mean, roll call votes. Like Jason was saying, if we even have literally like a roll call caucus, 10 guys will always stand up and call for a roll call vote, we can get people on record doing horrible things that are very unpopular, like supporting the drug war continuing, which is unpopular. I would say 90% of people would say it's unpopular. So people don't like that. So if we can use that as ammo, those and a few other stuff, to get them out of office next year by primarying or generaling in their district, saying, hey, did you know your current rep who's running for re-election, what's your vote? He voted for the drug war. Stuff like that.
I mean, does that even work, though? I mean, I don't know, like, it seems like we don't have a whole lot of, you know, publicity. Our reps don't get a whole lot of publicity as it is.
But what I'm saying is we go into their district, and yes, it does work, New Hampshire, for sure. If you door knock in their district and say, Representative Smith supported the drug war and voted for tax increases and voted to not allow the government to raise more revenue to offset taxes, you know, stuff like that, that will hurt them enough to make the moves. It's that simple.
It would be nice, you know, ultimately, if we did have more publicity. And I think one of the ways to get that is to have some kind of a Liberty Channel, where a lot of us are sending our content. And I've talked to a couple people about that, but nothing's come of it. I don't have the capability of starting one. I can barely get anyone to watch my stuff. I need a place to put my stuff if I shoot stuff, if I shoot video.
Can I make a suggestion?
A place to put stuff where it actually gets seen.
Yeah.
It's the getting seen part that's probably the difficult part. Just an outlet. You know, I feel like we have a lot of outlets, but not necessarily a lot of outlets that get seen.
Well, that's what Liberty Block does, and our podcast is okay. Our articles do decently. Some of them get thousands of reads. Our Odyssey is still very small. Our YouTube was kicked off, for better or for worse.
Well, I have a different idea. So, while I was at that conference, I was talking to, it doesn't really matter, but these guys from Maine, right? They started this whole dinner table group thing, and they had these potluck dinners, and they raised $500,000 over less than a year. And it's pretty impressive how they, but it doesn't matter. The point is, this other lady came up, and she's a rep out of southern New Hampshire. She started her own newspaper. So, she's paying, I believe it's about $600 for 6,000 to 7,000 copies of her newspaper, and she's killing it. She just focuses on town stuff, but then has, like, a page for, like, selectmen to write something in. Basic town stuff. She interviews two businesses and one local resident every month. She went from 8 pages, now she's at 32. And she's getting I saw her ad rate to $600 for a full-page ad. So generally and I was talking to her, she's running off an advertising model. So half your copy is ads, right? She's killing it. Let's put it that way. So I'm going to start my own paper for Franklin Northfield. I'm not putting it out there for that purpose. But what I'm saying is I think we need to start thinking about maybe some kind of just old school flood propaganda style kind of thing. It's not that hard to find $600 a month to put out 7,000 copies of a paper. You can drop 50 off at wherever, you know? It's just something to think. It's a different way of looking at it because we're not going to win by memeing this to victory, you know? You have to get in touch with these old people who are the ones voting and just start – you know, just start hitting with what's really going on in newspaper format, which is always more credible in people's minds. So, just my 2 cents.
That's a great idea, and I would love to help with that.
Yeah, I love
Darryl
that.
Darryl Perry used to do that in Keene years ago. He had a newspaper. For him, it was just a 4-pager, so just one sheet folded, front back, and he would put that out, I think, on no revenue for him, really. I think I bought some ads here and there. But it's, you know, it's tough. Just get ready, because it's a lot of work to make a paper and then physically take it to different distribution points and that sort of thing. It can be done, though, and he did it successfully for years.
Yeah, that's probably a great idea. And I think Ian emphasizes that problem very well. It's a lot of work, and the question is, where is it going to get distributed? How are you going to make that, you know, actually work out? I don't know. And then the question is, are you going to do it yourself, or do you actually have people doing it? Are they going to get paid? You know, all of those things are like, you know, if it's going
to
get any real.
Yourself. I mean, there's like I said, there's not really any money in it.
I'm in it for helping with writing and editing, and at least a few bucks a month for a Liberty Block ad. If you'll put my Liberty Block logo and stuff, maybe the books, like for an ad, I would pay a few bucks a month for an ad.
I want to say I would also contribute to it financially, but I'm just not sure. Hey, I'm not going to try and discourage anybody from doing it. Just keep in mind, it's going to be a lot of work.
Another option, you know, one could focus on supporting the existing paper that's doing well in Nashua as opposed to starting a new one. I'm not sure exactly how that would be done, but it's an option. Nevertheless, you know, it's nice to see you trying to start a new paper. I don't think that's a bad idea either.
I have to wonder if it's a better idea to do a website than like an actual distributed paper or something, just because like website, like links can be passed around, or if you do a paper, also do a website, because links can be passed around easily. Newspapers, I don't know, they seem like they're going to be harder to get out there.
Yeah, I did it in college. I mean, the key thing is this, just distribution. We're talking about a thing that's designed for people that live in the town. So it's not like it's going to be just nonstop, you know, secession, but it'll be local kind of school board meeting stuff. You just don't have that kind of avenue anymore for local events, you know, yard sales, all that kind of the crap.
And yeah, I like it.
So anyway, point being is it's not that difficult if you do the layout yourself. So, yeah, anyway.
Daryl,
I would love to help with that.
Daryl had purchased some of those, like those molded plastic newspaper distribution boxes, and was able, I don't know how I think he just went out and like set it down next to whatever ones that already existed in downtown Keene and basically got away with it. I don't think there was any kind of issue with that. It was on public property, like on a sidewalk in downtown Keene, and that thing sat there for years until Daryl finally gave up on the newspaper and then remove them. So it can be done, and those things aren't particularly expensive. It's just one of those things with like a plastic flap on the front, no kind of coinage or anything required. Just, you know, open the thing up. The only thing you have to worry about is the haters might just steal a whole stack of your newspapers. That's like the worst case scenario with that, so just be aware of that.
Yeah, Russell Canning also did that with the Keene Free Press back around 2007, you know, that lasted for about 4 years, and that was successful, and he used that, you know, those same molded plastic, you know, the newspaper container he would set out.
I wonder if you could just leave it in places, like when you go to your Dunkin' Donuts in the morning, just like leave one or two copies there on the tables. The next group of five old men who come will read them, and then maybe they'll stay there, maybe they'll come home, and their wife will bring it to the dining club later, and then it'll go around town.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt to do that, but obviously those tables are going to get bust at some point. You want to go and try to get them in places where people are sitting and waiting. So, like, laundromats are a good place for leaving flyers like that or newspapers. But the nice thing about those street locations is you're getting all the walk-by traffic, and you don't have to secure a business location where the business might be concerned about content or whatever. So you just plop something down in public, and then it just kind of gets left alone for the most part. It's a good place to get seen if you're in like a downtown Main Street location.
And if you think about it, like in a wrestling match, if someone's trying to pin your right shoulder, sometimes the thing to do is help them push your right shoulder down, and then roll with the move until you've moved all the way over, and now you're on top of them. So it's kind of like, you know, the it seems like the feds are trying to stop electronic communications from reaching large numbers of people, you know, so it may be that it's not a bad thing to kind of roll with that right back into the things that worked in the past.
See, Daniel Miller has popped in here. Any new developments down south, Daniel, you want to share with us?
Man, amigo, I just came to show some support. I had a couple of minutes to carve out. Just thought I'd come by and say hello and just keep up the great work. I mean, I'm just here for moral support, amigo.
We think it's great to have you here, Daniel. It's like I'm always telling the listeners, you're the most interesting politician in America.
It's more down.
Daniel, my dad and I are working with Keith Bassett, who is hoping to get the Florida exit movement up and going. He's now the admin of the Facebook group, and we're working on websites and logos and stuff.
Oh,
so let's
talk
about Florida exit.
Well, that's great news. You know, the more the merrier. I had a conversation, I'll tell you guys, and Dylan hadn't had a chance to visit with you about it yet, but I've been recently visiting with a man named Dr. Mac Wartrop, and if his name is unusual, but if you read a lot of the headlines about independence, if you read articles about independence movements in Europe, particularly now around the time of the Scottish independence, that now they're pushing for a second Scottish independence referendum. He's the guy that they go to. And he's a super interesting guy, and he's probably, globally speaking, the number one authority on independence referenda. He's Oxford educated. He's a professor at Coventry University. He's a visiting professor at Australian National University. And I mean, he's just got one heck of a pedigree. But he's been really optimistic about what's going on. Over here, and oddly, sort of in the dark about it, there is I call it sort of the tail end of the conversation about electronic communication, but I mean, we have to remember, there is in effect a media blackout on what we're doing, because anytime they happen to cover it in the mainstream media, all it does is just pour gas on the fire for us, right? They think they're going to hurt us. And what they wind up doing is adding to our ranks. So he has been working with a producer at the BBC, and in the spring they're going to produce a series, probably a podcast series, but who knows where this will go. And a heavy chunk of it is going to involve independence movements over here. So, we connected him up on the list with you guys, with California, with AIP in Alaska, and it's good to know that we've got some movement on Flexit. So, you know, as that whole thing develops, it's going to be great. But he's agreed to come over. He's going to be working with us as a consultant in this legislative session, and has expressed a great interest in connecting with other movements throughout the states. So I'm pretty excited about that, and I think it's going to be good news for all of us.
Daniel, this is Ridley. Could you get me in touch with him?
Yeah, I can pass along your information to him. He's in Australia right now. I don't know how much longer he's going to be there, but I think he goes back to the UK when he leaves there, and then he's wanting to carve out some time, I think, after the first of the year to head this direction. So. I will tell you, he's been working on his Texas accent, and it's horrible. So,
well, I posted my email address in the chat on the left there, so you can just take that and send that to him if you want. But I would like to connect with him if I could.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll shoot it over to him, and ready to go. But he's, you know, one of the really good things about this is because we brought him over. I mean, he's officially working with us. He's on retainer, so he's coming on as a consultant. So he's helping us legislatively. But the other part of this too is he wants to proxy for the self-determination issue over here. And so we connected him up with our PR guys, and they're going to start placing op-eds in major publications. So, you know, there'll be obviously some nods and some mentions, but I think it'll be great to have an academic voice, someone with his pedigree, basically supporting all of us, you guys, us, California, everyone, on this issue, because he gets to bat down some of the most ridiculous objections to this thing that people typically say. So it'll be, I think it's a good addition to the team.
Cool. Well, I want to thank Jason for coming out and giving us a sort of a legislative update as one of the new reps, kind of taking everything in. And anybody else got anything to share this week?
Not much. Just thanks everyone for being here. Make sure to check out AmericansUPS.com, and we're going to try to keep all the news on that site about all the independent movements and stuff. So thanks, Daniel, for coming by. Let's talk to you and my dad and stuff. Let's talk soon.
What was that website? Americans what?
AmericansUPS.com. Americans United for Peaceful Separation. It's my dad's website, and we're all trying to kind of keep track as the umbrella, keep track of all the independence movements in the Union.
Cool. I posted a summary, by the way, if anybody hasn't seen it. NHExit.us has a rundown of how the state reps did that were running for re-election, complete with plenty of links and information. So if y'all haven't seen that or shared it, feel free. Congratulations to all of our re-elected reps. 100% of them who were in the general election were re-elected.
Hell yeah. Congratulations to all them.
Yes, and congratulations, Representative Gerhard. Glad you won.
Thanks. And I also want to say that if we could create some kind of, I think you need some kind of a monthly or daily public-oriented nullification kind of thing going on. You know what I mean? Some kind of update or something, just to keep it alive in people's minds. That's the only
it's a good idea. And again, you and everyone else is welcome to write any article for Liberty Block anytime, and I will share it everywhere.
Well, I think that might be something that a nullification caucus could do, especially, you know, have maybe public meetings, but only, you know, to focus on the state reps or something like that. That might be one way to kind of keep that ball rolling.
All right, sounds good. I'll look into it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I think that's going to take somebody to step up and be the leader of that, you know, whether that's you or Matt Sanz-Nastasso or whatever. I think, you know, it should be somebody. I think whoever's leading the Nullification Caucus should be somebody who supports independence. Like, we want to welcome the non-independent supporters like Tom, but I wouldn't want to see them, you know, being, you know, running the ship.
Yeah, great point. I agree. Daniel Miller, in the Texas legislature, is there any caucus for pushing independence or nullification?
No official caucus. You know, we're dealing with, you know, you guys had a phenomenal cycle, right? You guys had a good one. We were the recipients of targeted bloodbath during redistricting. So the six, and I don't know if you guys know how our ledge is. We've got 150 reps and 31 senators, right? So we're dealing with 17 million voters represented by really a small number of people. So, you know, last session when we got the bill filed, we had Biederman Biederman authored, White joint authored, and then they had four others sign on to it. And they targeted all those guys during redistricting, and so, with the exception of two. And it was a bloodbath. I mean, it really was. So we basically got back in with two on the House side. We developed three Senate allies that are finally going to come off the fence, it looks like. And we worked a bunch of the new guys, a bunch of the freshman class. And I think we got some of the middle-of-the-road guys. But it's going to be a difficult slog for us this legislative session. You know, we don't have a specific caucus dedicated to it. But, you know, our guys are, you know, they're really, as you can tell with what's happening with the border issues and well, pretty much anything else, they are uber, uber cautious about these sorts of things. And so, you know, we're having to, obviously, like always, do double the work for half as much. But we, I think we're going to get legislation filed. The draft legislation is already at Ledge Council right now for final drafting, and then we'll get it filed hopefully before the start of the session, and then good to go. That was a long answer for a very short question, Allie. Thanks, buddy.
I'm just jumping in, guys. What is the legislation specifically that you're doing down in Texas?
If you, I tell you what, if you guys want a copy of it, I can send it over. But essentially what it will do, so our legislature is a part-timer, right? There are 140 days every other year. So what this legislation will do is add the question, really it does two things. Well, technically three if you count the study bill. But the first thing that it does is it creates an independence committee. The second thing it does is it does a top-down study from the comptroller's office to show the negative economic impact of our relationship with the federal government. And the third thing it does is on November, so November after a legislative session is when we have our constitutional amendment election, right? So we actually have a general election date in what would normally be considered an off year, but it's specifically for constitutional amendment elections or, you know, so legislature proposes, it would go on in November. Well, what this does is it adds a question on there where the voters of Texas are asked, should the state of Texas reassert its status as an independent nation? And in the event that it comes back in the affirmative, which, you know, given the poll numbers, all the more reason to think that that's absolutely the case, what it would do is it would trigger that committee that is created by the legislation to effectively begin the transition plan to say, okay, here are the, you know, the four things that we have to do, and it specifies all of the various things that they have to get done, and they have a clock. So it essentially, people will say, well, is it binding or non-binding? Well, it's binding in the sense that it obligates the state government to action in the event of an affirmative vote on the question. So it's, you know, it's really pared down from the original legislation that we proposed, but we found out as we got into the process that some of the things we were asking were frankly just unconstitutional. Like, we could not, by statute, force the governor to call a special session, because you cannot, by statute, force the governor to exercise a discretionary constitutional power. Things like that. So that's essentially what it does. It's a referendum bill with things that go on after it.
Cool. Yeah, copies of that would be great. I know you're in the chat, Daniel, so I can just drop in the NYPAC email address so we get sent a copy. I know we got a lot of we have a lots of the John Birch Society came through with a lot of different kinds of nullification bills that we can do. I know, you know, with this year, what we have going on planned is, I know there's right now there's a House resolution submitted by Representative Sarah Anastasio to declare that, you know, that we're all in agreement that states wishing to exercise self-government should not be met with violence by the federal government. So there's a House.
Put that in. That's great news.
Yep, that did get put in. And also, not completely related to, but sort of related to, you know, sovereignty, is also another bill submitted to legalized dimethyltryptamine in New Hampshire, and you know, so why is dimethyltryptamine being legal in New Hampshire significant? Is because dimethyltryptamine, if you enjoy Joe Rogan, you know, everyone knows it as DMT, the spirit molecule, that is illegal up to the UN. And it's just kind of silly to think that the UN needs to worry about something like that. They should be focused more on brokering peace between countries rather than, you know, outlawing DMT. And maybe, you know, maybe if everybody in the UN took some DMT, we'd get peace a lot faster.
So, interesting point about that. I hadn't even thought about it when he talked about putting in a bill to decriminalize DMT. That could very well get him a spot on Joe Rogan.
Oh.
So I did ask him about that because, Joe Rogan has obviously branded himself with, you know, and his show as being, you know, having to do with the drug. I think it's been years since he actually talked about that. But Matt said he's already not interested in going on his show. I know, however, I wouldn't be against it. I think it would be a very exciting bill to get through to see how far we can get. There's another bill that's getting through that we tried last year that's going to happen again this year with a few different sponsors, and that is 1411. This has become a little bit of a pet project of mine because 1411 is supposed to disclose all of the different federal law enforcement that's happening in the state of New Hampshire. It's supposed to disclose to the Attorney General of New Hampshire that this is what the federal government has and have it all published on a website. So I included a little amendment that wasn't included in last year's bill, but I did submit it last year that would also include nonprofits that have an MOU with federal law enforcement agencies, you know, 501c3s that have memorandum of understanding, because the government is using nonprofits to help basically perform law enforcement functions in a much diluted manner. And a great example of that is an organization that I was a part of while I was a grad student online with the University of San Diego, and I'm sure I've shared this story with many of you before. Yep, that's it right there, 1411. That was last year. So I was a member of an organization called InfraGuard. Thanks for sharing that, Alu. InfraGuard is, you know, it's designed to protect critical infrastructure, you know, in the United States. There's 16 different categories of critical infrastructure that InfraGuard is supposed to watch out. Now, I did not hear about this organization until I was already, you know, enrolled in grad school, which is why I believe it's actually supposed to, you know, it's supposed to do what they say they do. It's, you know, it's, they want professionals who are already in those industries to do it. But if you go to the website, though, it's very easy to join InfraGuard. You can be only 18 years of age to join. A quick background check, and voila, you're like a hall monitor for the FBI. And considering that, you know, 3 months into Joe Biden's illegitimate administration, that he opened up our electrical grid to the Chinese, really doesn't make a lot of sense to be, lots of redundant, you know, this public-private partnership with federal law enforcement agencies and nonprofits. So the little amendment I've added to 1411, which, you know, we'll try again this year, that should give it some teeth. What else is going on? So those are three different bills that have, you know, three different bills and resolutions that involve relating between New Hampshire, the federal government, and also international organizations as well. Another bill that is more local in nature that Representative Gearhart put in is going to be to decriminalize, or I should say, make it so that way felons who have not committed any violent crimes can have Second Amendment rights restored to them.
Yeah, it's a great one. So I want to go back to the DMT thing real fast. Since you said that Matt Santostasso would not want to appear on Joe Rogan. I mean, obviously we're getting ahead of ourselves, but...
Yes, we are, yes.
But you know, let's paint the picture here. You know, in case it does happen that Joe Rogan's interested in this, we got to have somebody who's willing to do that. And so I'm wondering, Jason, does that sound like a bill that you would want to co-sponsor? And if so, would you be willing to appear in the media about it? I see him sitting there.
I don't know if he's actually there. Oh, there he is.
No, I'm here. I'm just thinking about what you're saying. It comes down to a matter of, am I the best person to be putting forward on this? I mean, we probably have somebody else that's more, you know, image-worthy.
You're handsome enough for television. I think you're fine.
Yeah, if you always wait for somebody else to do it, it's never going to get done.
And I thought Jason's episode when he was on Free Talk Live like over a year ago was just fascinating. Like, he was a good interview.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's only going to be the most hardcore of Liberty reps are going to sign on to that legislation. So it's going to be slim pickings. And Matt is real concerned with, what was the word you used, Bonnie? When Bonnie recorded an interview with him,
he said he looked awkward in it, and he didn't.
He's too self-conscious. That was the word. He's too self-conscious. So somebody with a little more willingness to be in the media. I think maybe what would be useful, Jason, maybe you can sit down with Matt and kind of compare notes on what bills you guys have submitted and see which ones you're willing to kind of co-sponsor for each other. Because it's always best to have bills with not just one sponsor on them if you can get some co-sponsors.
Yeah, that's the only problem is it's difficult to do that until you actually get it back from Legislative Services, because they're going to rewrite the bill. You know what I mean? You kind of give them like a little picture of like the stick figures, and then they write the bill. So
sure.
Once it comes back, then you have 10 days to say, okay, it's the right lingo, boom, boom. But once that happens, yes, I'm going to start pushing around to people and see what they're saying. But I don't know. I mean, I think we're kind of, let's cross that bridge when we get to it. But there's no reason not to be trying to do a little bit more local outreach on some of this stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know how you go about it, but I'm going to try on the paper thing. I know that's already, but we already talked about that. But maybe some other ways you guys can think of. Just, I don't even know if you want to have, like, I don't know. I'll talk to you guys about other ideas I have. I don't want to clog this up with it.
Well, there's always letters to the editor. You know, for existing papers, the ones that still are in business, you know, they'll print pretty much anything. And Ridley, of course, has all the phone numbers for call-in lines for local talk shows all across the state. I believe he's posted that to the Shire forums as its own thread. So talk radio, newspaper, those are two of the sort of ground-level local communications methods.
And I'm happy to, you know, if someone wants to delegate media appearances to me, at least if they're not, if I don't have to drive there, be, you know, somewhere, then I usually really like doing that, but I'm not always the right person to do it.
I also want to point out, too, that we've got a whole bunch of great other bills kind of ready to, well, not, almost ready to go for this next fall session when we're ready to get a little further into the nullification business.
I have another idea, though. So, this is quick. I sent emails to, like, the director of the prisons in New Hampshire and some other people, different departments of different things. But I'm wondering if it's worthwhile to start doing like tours of these facilities, and then while in the process of the tour, or something kind of tying it in, but just how if we had full control of this via secession, or you know what I mean, of nullification of federal BS, I bet there's so many ways to do that with local, you know, institutions that just suck ass, like the prison system and the rest. So that's something else I'm thinking about. But
well, I think it's great when the leadership takes an initiative to go visit the different you know, functions of the state, or you know, people love it when their leadership comes to visit. It shows, you know, it's a way of showing that they care. So I just want to say that's a great idea. Yes.
I noticed Alu just dropped out. He might have been the one with the answer to this, because I know last year there was the Liberty Forum that happened in early March, and there was a great secession panel where Daniel Miller and Alu and Stephen Axelman were on the panel. So I'm hoping that we're going to see another similar panel like that. I don't know if anybody's in touch with the organizers over there, but might be something to consider, and NHI PAC may want to have a table if the sponsorships aren't too crazy. You might want to consider that one.
All right, cool. That's a good idea. Thanks.
Might be a good place to round up some monthly donors.
Yeah. My product table, vision panel. I can follow up on this panel, too.
Yeah, if you reach out to them and say, hey, I want to have a table, then they might take suggestions of, you know, panel ideas or that sort of thing. Maybe even let you host the panel or something like that. They're usually kind of open to those ideas. Okay. It was well attended, by the way, the one that I helped.
Yeah.
So there's definitely an interest in that. And, of course, everybody there is paying to get in, so they're all good prospects for hitting them up for $5 or $10 a month. It might be one of those things where you get the most hardcore state reps like Matt and Jason to appear on a panel and just kind of talk about what's coming and take questions from the audience, that sort of thing.
Sounds like an ideal panel right there.
Yeah, maybe bring in Mike Sylvia for the sort of the experienced perspective, or Glenn Bailey, or one of those guys that's been in for, I guess Matt's been in, this is his second, so I think that'd be a cool one.
Can you set up as a debate style? I'd love to see somebody debate against it, because I've seen Alou has done some cool stuff. I bet that'd make a worthwhile show there. I don't know who's like the most outspoken, one-rule-order thing, but...
It's hard to get people to debate it. Alou has been trying and trying. He did finally get that one guy at the Shell, like, a year or two ago, or whatever it was. But since then, he just keeps asking, and it's like crickets. But I bet Brody DeShays has a lot more free time on his hands.
Yes, he does.
That's just great.
That's a good call right there. Hey, if you have anything going on Tuesday night? Oh, man.
All right. Good meeting, guys. Went longer than I expected, and nice to have Matt pop in and Daniel Miller, and very cool.
I had gone out at like 1:20 to grab a Christmas tree, and then just setting it up in the apartment took a little bit longer than I thought, but I got a Christmas tree.
Cool, guys. Well, I'm going to get back to my day, and I hope you guys all have a productive week. Thanks for everything you do.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for showing up, everybody.
Yeah.